That's not it, no. No topic.
I know.
He knows, yeah.
Thank you.
I didn't realize you get to leave a fan on, by the way, Eric.
It was a good thing to let the fan on. Where's the remote control? You got a marker?
Yeah. I got to pay afterwards. Remote, we got a remote control, Eric. Okay. Yeah. Please have just fan on. That was the chart.
I didn't realize you could leave a fan on.
Same 1 degrees.
It'll be extra nice
and cool. All good. Okay, I'm sit down. Make sure I'm centered, please. Left and right, just make sure I'm focused. The focus. I noticed a couple of that one time was not focused very good.
You got it down.
Yeah, you got that. Okay. My teeth clean.
You need the topic, which is, I mean...
Just tell me.
Yeah, do I need to pay income tax?
Okay, yeah. That's good. That's good. Do I need income taxes?
Right.
Yep. Yeah, I'm ready. Hello, my friends. I'm Peyman Montahede, the president of Freedom Law School. And in this presentation tonight, it's going to be a very basic fundamental on the issue of income tax basics. It's every so often I do this fundamental seminar about income tax. Do you have to pay income tax or not? And that depends on you and your situation. So we're going to take a short break. I'll be back in just a few seconds.
You need it, so.
You look, I felt a little like glare here on my nostril. That was fine. Okay, all right. Let's start this tonight. So folks, without further ado, I'm going to get started with recording of our weekly Freedom Hour. And afterwards, as usual, I'll be answering your questions live. By the way, I'll be at the Red Pill Expo coming up. I should put that on the screen for many of you who do not know about that before I forget. Not this weekend, but the following weekend at the Red Pill Expo in Des Moines, Iowa, August 12th through 14th. The 12th and 13th will be the first 2 days. These are all the speakers that they got coming up. Okay. However, besides speaking there the first 2 days, I'll be speaking on Monday. That'll be a special class. Even though Red Pill Expo online or in person, you have to pay. The Monday class will be free. That's right, free classes and workshops. Okay. So you cannot make it through none of it. Watch online, okay? 1:30 to 5 o'clock. We're gonna fix the time with Ed Griffin at the time, ending 5 p.m. We'll make a little type of corrections for him. So, and then of course I'll be in Las Vegas at the Reawaken America Tour, 25th and 26th, Friday and Saturday, in Las Vegas. So, having said all that, let's go over the very basics about do you have to pay taxes or not. Let's find out from the government's official legal websites. Ready, go. We need a short break for technical issues, folks. We'll be right back. Hang in there.
Step.
No problem.
I know I forgot something.
No problem. All right, happens. Okay, thanks for your patience. We get started shortly. Hello, my friends. I am Peyman Mutahede, the president of Freedom Law School, which I created in 1996. In this presentation, I will answer the most basic question everybody asks of me. Am I required to file a day federal income taxes? Very basic question that many people take the answer for granted. But the answer is actually a delightful response. Most of you don't, based upon U.S. government's official legal website. I'm going to go to IRS's website. I will show you the federal tax laws, the Internal Revenue Code. This is a paper version of it, you see. You'll see it online as published by the U.S. House of Representatives. I will show you U.S. Treasury Department regulations and the U.S. Supreme Court. Not an opinion of any CPA, accountant, or tax lawyer. They don't count. Only these official sources of government law that you should rely upon. So let's get started with the IRS's own official website where they have the 1040 U.S. Individual Income Tax Return Form for your 2020 listed. The key thing here is the U.S. What the United States are they speaking about? Don't take that for granted, because I'm going to come back to show you why that term is so critical, because they deceive you with definitions, and definitions are key to answer, okay? So we go to the instruction, irs.gov, again, for the 1040 tax form, and we go to page 8 under filing requirements, and the IRS tells us that these rules apply to all U.S. citizens, and I wholeheartedly agree, applies to all U.S. citizens as defined in federal tax laws, as you will see, regardless of where they live and resident aliens. Very good. So far, so good. So now let's go to the Office of the Law Revision Council, United States Code, that publishes the United States Code, which is a consolidation and codification by subject matter of the general and permanent laws of the United States, the federal government. It is prepared by the Office of the Law Revision Council of the United States House of Representatives, folks. This is where everybody gets the law officially, okay? So let's go look up some different laws. Okay, folks, there is 54 categories of federal laws or titles. Category or Title 26 is the Internal Revenue Code. The term United States, you know, USC, I'm sorry, stands for USC stands for United States Code. United States Code is the federal tax laws. So let's go right here. For example, we see from Title 26 or Category of Federal Laws 26, Internal Revenue Code. See, and here we have Section 1, tax imposed. Everybody knows the tax is imposed by Section 1, unmarried individuals and all different individuals. They're talking about like heads of households. You know, every accountant probably knows this much, right? But what they don't know is what I'm going to show you momentarily. Here is the regulation of the United States Treasury Department on determination of tax liability tax on individuals. Part 1.1-1 income tax on individuals. And in A general, it tells us this. Section 1 of the code. What code are they speaking about? The Internal Revenue Code. That's right. This book. Okay. It's all online like I showed you. Okay. They're referring to the federal tax laws written by Congress. Right? And U.S. Treasury is interpreting it and telling you what it means more clearly. So Section 1 of the Code imposes an income tax on the income of every individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States. That's the key. Who is the citizen or resident of the United States, depends on what United States you are talking about. And to the extent provided by Section 871B or 877B on the income of a non-resident alien individual. Okay, so we're going to take these one at a time. The U.S. citizen residents and the non-resident aliens. Let's go find out who the U.S. citizens are, okay? We're going to go right now to, again, Title 26, the Internal Revenue Code, two definitions. There's actually a special section, Section 7701 on definitions. They define so many key things when used in this title. All these special definitions are there for even the most basic things like a person, yes, has its own definition. Corporation, everything, they want to give it a special, clear definition. And here is one for United States and state. Well, let's read it. The term United States when used in a geographical sense, and that's what you want to know, what landmass is the United States are speaking about, right? It includes only the states and the District of Columbia. Okay, so what is the term state? The term state shall be construed to include the District of Columbia, with such constructional understanding is necessary to carry out the provisions of this title, which is Title 26. So, isn't that funny? The District of Columbia is not a state, folks. Florida, Texas, Arizona, they're all states. District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, Guam, these are territories, they're lands of the federal government. They're not states. D.C. is not a state yet. Congress chose, for whatever reason they want to, for tax purposes, make District of Columbia a state, as you see right here. The term United States means basically the District of Columbia plus the District of Columbia, which means United States means District of Columbia. You start to see the picture about this. So that U.S. citizen is a District of Columbia citizen. Now, I know what you're thinking. Paymont, everybody knows. The 50 states are obviously included in the definition of state in the United States. Duh! You don't have to mention it. It's obviously clearly implied. Everybody knows that, right? Wrong. Okay. Let's go to U.S. Supreme Court for guidance on this issue. Here's a case called Rubin and Allison Company versus Ebbot Tax Commission of Ohio. Came out in 1945. Okay, let's go in this case of relevant language. Folks, in law, there's more than one United States. The United States that you and I know is not the only United States. There's actually three different United States in law, which we're either referring to in tax laws. We shall find out. Okay. The term United States may be used in any one of the several senses. See, like I told you, number one, it may be merely the name of a sovereign occupying a position analogous to that of other sovereigns in the family of nations, such as United States as compared to Japan, Russia, China, England. See, United States in that term could mean all the 50 states as related in relation to other countries of Earth, right? That could be one United States. But there's a second one that is also important. It may designate the territory over which the sovereignty of the United States extends, okay? That's the United States, folks, that they're talking about, folks. That's the United States that the tax law refers to, the land over which the U.S. government is sovereign, and that's the District of Columbia. It could potentially be territories of the United States like Puerto Rico, Guam, you know, as well, and there's others also, okay? The third one, by the way, I should mention to you what we added, you know, United States. It may be the collective name of the states which are united by and under the Constitution. That's right. When you refer to all the 50 states, that could be the other United States. So the United States in tax law is the second one, folks, that they're referring to, and you got to understand that. Okay, territory of which the United States extends the sovereignty. Now, let's go, and I'm showing it on the map. On the right, you see the United States that we all think about. I'm a U.S. citizen for national purposes. That whole on the right side, all that very light green, almost white area is the United States and Alaska part of it. On the left, you see the tiny District of Columbia. On the right, it's tiny. You can almost not even see it. The District of Columbia is the United States in tax law they are referring to. And again, let's go to U.S. Supreme Court once again because they tell us how to interpret law correctly. And the Supreme Court tells us in Stanford versus Carhart in the year 2000 case, in relevant page, this about definitions. When a statute or law includes an explicit definition, like the ones we just saw, has its own definition, we must follow that definition, even if it varies from that term's ordinary meaning. See, the ordinary meaning of the term United States, we cannot go by that. We got to go by what the statute, the law, the term of the code says. Okay? It is axiomatic, which means self-evident, obvious, that the statutory definition of the term excludes unstated meanings of that term. What does that mean? That means clearly, we see here in section 7701, the term United States does not include in any way mention the 50 states. It's not there. That is what the Supreme Court telling us in this language. To further take that point home, I'm going to show it to you in the tax case of Gould versus Gould. It's a 1917 unanimous U.S. Supreme Court tax case, and the holding or conclusion of the court says this, in the interpretation or understanding of statutes, laws, levying, imposing taxes. So, in understanding laws that impose taxes, right, it is the established rule not to extend their provisions, not to extend the provision of tax laws, by implication, beyond the clear import of the language used or to a larger operation so as to embrace or include matters not specifically pointed out. If it's not specifically pointed out in the law, it's not there. Like I showed you earlier, the term the 50 states are not specifically anywhere pointed out here in the interim code. The definition of the term United States, therefore the 50 states are not there. And if you have any doubts, the court tells us in case of any doubts, they, that means the tax laws, are construed or interpreted or understood most strongly against the government and in favor of the citizen not being taxed. Not strongly against government, most strongly against the government, any doubt that you have, and in favor of it, says that not being taxed. It's a well-known rule, Supreme Court, since the founding fathers era, because taxing is stealing by force. If it's not clearly shown you owe the tax, you don't owe it at all, any doubt, you're innocent. You're innocent until clearly, specifically, the law can show that you owe the tax. Okay? Now, I'm going to show you a law in the Interim Code, Title 26, okay, that includes the 50 states and the some. Okay, this is Section 4612, Definition and Special Rules. Okay, and this is in Subtitle D, Chapter 38, Environmental Taxes, Subchapter A, Tax on Petroleum. Let's see what it says about tax on oil. It says definitions. for the purposes of this subchapter. What subchapter? Subchapter A, tax on petroleum or oil. Okay? So they define basic things like crude oil. And look at this. There's also a specific definition for the term United States that says the term United States means, look at that, folks, the 50 states. Oh, yeah. They didn't forget about the 50 states. When they can do it, they did do it, included. And they added the District of Columbia and furthermore, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. Any possession of the United States, the Commonwealth of Northern Mariana Islands, and the Trust Territory of the Pacific Islands, and for good measure, it also includes continental shelf areas. That's right, by the Atlantic and Pacific Ocean and the Mexican Gulf, Gulf of Mexico, the seabed there, that's also for oil tax purposes, part of the United States, right? And it also includes foreign trade zones. You see, they didn't forget about the 50 states when they brought up here earlier in the general definition of the United States in the interim codes. Okay? They deliberately left it out because the federal government does not have the taxing power to tax the people of the states. You are free. You see? So now when you look at the regulations, 1.1-1, income tax on individuals, now you see what they mean. That section 1 of the code imposes income tax on the income of every individual who is a citizen or resident of District of Columbia. That's right. This United States is a District of Columbia. If you're a D.C. citizen, you must pay the income tax. Boom. Right? Now, let's go cover the other part. So in other words, if you're not a citizen or resident of D.C., if you're from California, Florida, Texas, or Japan, or France, anywhere on earth, you don't owe the federal income tax. Only U.S. citizens and residents owe it from D.C., right? Now, there's another category. You could be a non-resident alien also. That's right. And to an extent provided by Section 831B or 837B, an income of a non-resident alien individual. That's right. If you're a non-resident alien of District of Columbia, United States, I'll show that to you in the law. But before we go to that, I got to show you one other thing, a couple of definitions, and I'll explain this for you also very clearly, who is that non-resident alien individual. First, under Section 77701 definitions, there's also the term trade or business defined as including the performance of the functions of a public office. Look at that, folks. In other words, if you're a judge, a member of Congress, FBI agent, DOJ lawyer, IRS, right, U.S. Treasury employee, you are in a trade or business. Isn't that crazy? Who would think, folks, when you hold the public up trust office on behalf of people, you're in business. You're involved in a trade. Right? That's ridiculous. Well, guess what? They can define it any way they want. You see, I'm very much for gender-affirming care in the original definition, not the corrupt way of today, which they mutilate and castrate, chemically and physically a child, and destroy gender, damage it, and they call that gender-affirming care, and it's neither. It's the opposite. Same thing they've done here. And use definition to deceive you. So you think, oh, I'm a businessman. I'm a commissioned sales agent. I'm involved in a trade or business. But you're not, because you're not performing functions of a public office. Okay? So by the way, it's a federal public office because they can only make laws, the federal government, because of taxes. Unless it's excise taxes like oil, only in the District of Columbia, right? Or territories, perhaps. So here we go. Then, again, in definitions, we go down. There's a part in definitions about resident alien and non-resident alien. Folks, it gets interesting. Hang in there with me, folks. He's going to make sense for you. Just hold on. I'll get a little gobbledygook, but it'll make sense. Hang in there, okay? So here we go down a little bit further, and there's a specific definition for the term non-resident alien, which you saw. An individual is a non-resident alien if such individual is neither a citizen of the United States nor a resident of the United States, right? So the United States is the District of Columbia. So you are neither a citizen of D.C. nor do you reside in D.C. Therefore, that makes you a D.C. non-resident alien. It's that simple. So me, I'm in Florida. I'm neither a citizen of the United States for tax purposes. For nationality purposes, I am a U.S. citizen. So are you. But for tax purposes, I'm not a U.S. citizen. Neither are you. And in Florida, I do not reside in D.C. I live, I'm domiciled in Florida. Therefore, I'm a non-resident with respect to government of the District of Columbia. And about 98% of you are the same category as me. Yes. So now you understand that. Let's go look at this a little more closely. Okay. The notice of regulations that were mentioned in here, folks. The sections 871B and 877B, they impose the tax on income of a non-resident alien individual. How do they do that? There it is. You'll see it right here. Okay. Again, from Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, Section 877 is about expatriation to avoid tax. This is about people giving up their citizenship to avoid the tax. We don't have to worry about that because none of you is doing that. So don't worry about that one. Let's focus on the other one, Section 871, tax on non-resident alien individuals. That may apply to some of you. Yes, this may apply to some of you, as you shall see. Okay, so here we go down further to Section B, income tax with the United States business graduated rate of tax, imposition of tax. The language here uses three key terms. United States, trade or business, and non-resident alien. United States means D.C. Trade or business means performing functions of federal government, public office. And three, non-resident alien is someone that's not citizen or resident of D.C. Remember that, and now you'll be able to easily understand what it says here. Okay? A non-resident alien individual. Someone not from D.C., resident, citizen, or living in there, engage in the trade or business, engage in the performance of functions of federal public office within the United States, within Washington, D.C., during a taxable year, shall be taxable as provided in Section 1 of the code that we saw, or 55 on its taxable income, which is effectively connected with the conduct of a trade or business, conduct of a performance or function of public office within the United States, within D.C. See, somebody got their, who's not from D.C., got their money involved with a performance or function of office in D.C. That's what the tax here is imposed on. Yes. For example, see, the United States here, folks, remember that definition? It means D.C. So who does that apply to? Federal workers. All federal workers. Legislature, executive branch, and judiciary. Who else does it relate to? Federal, like pensioners, like veterans benefits, those people. Those guys. The biggest category of these people is people, military retirees. Okay? Also, federal employee retirees includes those people as well. So these people are non-resident aliens. You have to pay income tax. Okay, by law, as you can see right here, rest of you do not have to do that. Again, you see now how this all makes sense. Income tax on individuals. The only people that got to pay it are D.C. citizens, right? And someone who's not from D.C. and does federal government work or pension or some kind of income from D.C. Yep. Again, it all comes related to this tiny little District of Columbia on the right side, which is 10 miles square, you see, on the left-hand side. Otherwise, you don't have to file income tax. So here it is, folks. The 1040 U.S. individual income tax return is for D.C. individual. Yes. Washington, D.C. individual income tax return, not the 50 states individual income tax return. Okay? Remember this right here. For those of you who get pensions for military and postal workers and all those kind of guys from D.C., income from government work, it's called 1040-NR as a non-resident alien to income tax on that income. You know, income on your business, some on the job, rental income, whatever, that money is completely tax-free because it's not from D.C. Your government work, though, or government money you get from federal government, yes, income tax on that, though. Okay? So, folks, the key is you don't put the rope around your neck, folks. Now that you understand the law, you are required to file income tax. 98% of you are free of a requirement to pay income tax. Why, however, are the American people afraid of the IRS? Because we've been deceived, brainwashed to believe that we must file for income tax concession form. We have to put the rope around our neck. Otherwise, the IRS will hurt us. But the reverse is the truth, folks. You literally put the rope around your neck when you fill out a 1040 income tax concession form under oath. You do it yourself, as the IRS tells you in this cartoon. Folks, on our website, freedomlawschool.org, you'll see all the answers there. How you can restore freedom, regain your power and freedom, and never again voluntarily pay the Washington, D.C. swamp legally and safely guaranteed if you choose. It's all on you, folks. If you go to the 7 steps we have there, folks, all right, and you go down to these steps, step 2 is now the next step you want to go check out, because you need to stop filing 1040 income tax forms, except if you're a citizen or resident of D.C., or you're a federal worker, or contractor performing functions of federal public office, or you get pensions as performing functions of federal public office, getting your pension as a postal worker, federal worker, okay, or you know, a soldier, that type of thing, okay? Because folks, otherwise, when you sign an IRS Form 1040 income tax concession form, you claim that you owe the IRS money. You are putting the IRS notice around your neck. You give the IRS power to audit your 1040 form you filed, empty your bank accounts, steal your property, and put you in prison. All that is done because you gave up all that power. You stopped doing that. And you did that to your step 3 because IRS bluffed you. The major media, corrupt major media, they gave you the Corona hoax, Trump Russia conspiracy hoax, and all the other lies. They brainwashed you for over 100 years that you have to file income tax, otherwise you'd be in trouble, and that's a lie. That's Fear Mosque at the bottom, the total. Opening the curtain, you can see IRS is a bunch of incompetent, lazy workers on 1960s computer technology. That is, folks, the truth, okay? So you got to realize that the IRS is mostly bluff. A lot of you have trouble believing that. I cannot convince you of that. I can't. I cannot make you unafraid of the IRS. You got to go. You, on your own, listen to our videos as you drive to and from work. And when you get home, you do lunch and dinner, put your smartphone up and watch it, the proof, and seek the truth. And the truth shall set you free. That will help you lose your fear and gain your confidence. Okay? So, folks, you got to go with these 7 steps to be free of the IRS. You can take courage from our victories. I'm telling you, IRS is a myth, of Godzilla. The reality of the IRS is something completely different than the media tells you. So you got your, we beat the IRS, folks. Our students have not gotten in trouble with the IRS because we do the law correctly. We question our authority. We don't pay tribute or worship the beast. It's really Satan. You don't need to submit to the satanic control slavery system. You can question authority and write to Congress members and file a income tax only if the congressman can show you the law that requires you to file income taxes. This stuff is the petitions, what I showed you in writing. You write to Congress members, say, look, I'll pay my fair share. Just show me if I'm wrong. The law is quoted, listed, and attached. These petitions, like the one I just showed you. If they can show you're wrong, pay the income taxes that you legally owe. If they can't refute you, specifically on point, you don't pay the taxes, you don't know. By certified mail, you have proof of that documentation for future reference. All this is for free, folks. You should do it, all of you. Keep all of your money. The last two are optional. If you want to be part of restoring freedom in America, like America's modern-day founding fathers, this is a privileged class that get to have this benefit if you want it. If you're on your own, they'll leave you alone as a non-father. Yes, ours is falling apart, as you will see. You can do it on your own and be safe 99.9% of the time as a non-father. But, again, if you want to have a part of the solution, stand up for freedom, like America's founding fathers, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson and company, willing to raise up, say, I'll do it. I'll stand up. I'm going to make a difference. This is for you. We're standing up with other Americans, joining hands like the founding fathers. You can get a lifetime guarantee that you can properly, legally stop filing income taxes as long as you're a member of the Restore Freedom Plan. Yep. As long as you want to fund freedom and put your money where your mouth is, we'll back you up. Everybody's a team. Everybody backs each other up. We're all together, folks. As Americans, we regain our powers. And this way, Freedom Law School will prevent the IRS from collecting your money, or Freedom Law School will reimburse you. Yep. And furthermore, folks, we want you to tell other patriotic Americans about America. Spread the word. Tell the truth to American people to join Restore Freedom Plan. Arm Americans with the law, the American people. We can restore America and our families together, folks. And we want to reward you handsomely with referral rewards because you're speaking up and sharing others, telling them the truth. So, folks, I would love every one of you to live free. I just want to live and live and let live. I love and let love. The bottom line is, I cannot do that reading and understanding for you. You have to choose to do that reading and understanding for yourself. I can only guide you, point you out to our website, freedomlawschool.org, and it's all there, the answers, for free. You have to make the time as you drive to and from work and shopping to listen and educate yourself about the truth, okay, and de-brainwash you of the lies that major media has stumped in your head, that the IRS is God and powerful and you're weak. That's not true at all. You are powerful. You were deceived into believing you're weak when you're not. Let me empower you. You gotta make that choice. So go to freedomlawschool.org and educate yourself toward freedom, because I can only be a Morpheus out of the Matrix. You, each of you, are the Neos, and you have the power to free yourself and join hands, if you want, with other Americans to free our fellow Americans in our country of the Matrix of deception, robbery, slavery of the IRS, and the corrupt deep state that's destroying our rights and freedoms. We can defund these crooks and criminals and restore freedom to America one at a time first, for you and your family, and then together. I'll give you all my love and hope to meet you all one day soon in person. Go to freedomlawschool.org now for more. Okay, now I'm going to do a short version of this quickly. and take your questions. We put the number on the screen for the for those of you who have questions. Hang in there, folks. I'm sorry, last week I was not available yet. Technical problem to answer people's questions. So I will get your questions, folks. Promise you, okay? One at a time. So I'm gonna get rid of some of these other stuff that we don't need necessarily. I'll make a short presentation about this topic. Then I'm gonna answer all your questions one at a time. So hang in there. Area code 315, I'll get you first. Caller 954, area code caller, you'll be second. So folks, I'll get your questions. All right, I'll put this up. Okay, see what the topic is. The name of the topic, I forgot. That's definitely good. All right. I forget things sometimes, right? Everybody does. Okay. Hello, my friends. I am Paimon Motahede, the president of Freedom Mosque, which I created in 1996. In this very short presentation, I'll give you an overview. The answer to the question, do you need to file income taxes or not? I'll give the answers to you right now based upon IRS's website, United States Treasury's website, U.S. House of Representatives, and that of the U.S. Supreme Court. So with that, let's go with the IRS's website, irs.gov first. Here's a 1040 U.S. individual income tax return form for 2022. The key term is U.S. Who is a U.S. individual? Depends on what U.S. are you referring to. Let's go find out. Here is a form, instructions for the 1040 income tax return, right? On this form, and under filing requirement on page 8, that tells us that these rules apply to all U.S. citizens. And I agree, regardless of where they live and resident alien. Okay, well, let's go see what this U.S. is a keep mentioning here. So here we are, folks. We're going to go to the official website of U.S. House of Representatives, okay, uscode.house.gov, where the law is officially published for the world to see. And you go over there, and you're going to see that there's a section 1 of the code. Everybody knows it's about imposing a tax on Title 26 of the Internal Revenue Code. But what does it say? The regulations of this 111-1 make it very clear about income tax on individuals that section 1 of the code imposes income tax on income of every individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States. We're going to focus on that. The second part about non-resident aliens we'll cover in a more detailed video as the link below. So who is this United States citizen or resident? Well, let's go to see what it says in the law. Well, the law, folks, I'm going to show you right here, is from Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, which is here it is, folks. This is the Internal Revenue Code, the federal tax laws passed by U.S. Congress. All the gobbledygook tiny font tissue thin. Yes, this is the book, that the Bible of the IRS that they got to go by. I'm going to quote it from you here online. Yes, special definitions in section 7701. And what does it say? It says when used in this title. What title? Talking about Title 26, the Internal Code, the 26th category of federal laws. Okay? So they define so many obvious things like person, but guess what? There's a special definition for the term United States and state. United States, when used in a geographical sense, includes only the states and the District of Columbia. And states shall be construed to include the District of Columbia also. So you have United States basically means clearly D.C. plus D.C., which also adds up to only D.C. The United States means only the District of Columbia. Now you think, Paimon, come on, 50 states are included, obviously? Wrong. Let's go to U.S. Supreme Court to get answer on these issues. In this case, the Hoover v. Allison Company and versus Abbott, they tell us in 1945, the term United States could have several different meanings. Yes, the term United States could be either the whole 50 states collectively, or D.C. Yes, the seat of the federal government, as you show, you see here. The definition of the United States, here, folks, I'll show you, it's only what's there, not the 50 states. The Supreme Court tells us, it's Sandberg versus Carhart, that in year 2000, when a statute of law includes an explicit definition, like the one you just saw, we must follow that definition, even if it varies from that term's ordinary meaning. Yep. And it is axiomatic or self-evident obvious that the statutory definition of the term excludes unstated meanings of that term. If that term, like 50 states, is not listed in the definition of the United States, it's not there, folks. And in tax cases, folks, this is even more of a strict rule. In Gould v. Gould, in 1917, the U.S. Supreme Court tells us that in the interpretation or understanding of statutes, laws, levying or imposing taxes, it is the established rule not to extend the provisions of tax laws by implication, by implying, beyond the clear import of the language used, or to enlarge the operation of the tax laws so as to embrace or include matters not specifically pointed out. See, the 50 states are not specifically pointed out here. They're not here. You don't see any of the 50 states here. Therefore, it's not there in the definition of United States or states. And if you have any doubt, in case of any doubt, the tax laws are construed more strongly against the government and in favor of the citizen, not being taxed. And, folks, that's it. And let me show you, folks, an example of a law that they do have to impose the tax on the 50 states. Again, this is from Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, Section 4612, okay, Subchapter A, Tax on Petroleum. In this section, definitions, it says for the purposes of this subchapter, Subchapter A, Tax on Petroleum, that all these definitions apply, like the one on the term United States means the 50 states. There it is, the 50 states, folks, explicitly listed. And the District of Columbia and a bunch of U.S. territories, continental shelf areas, and foreign trade zones. They did not forget about 50 states around Europe. They deliberately listed it here and left it out there. So the United States here, you see, the citizen or resident of the United States is citizen or resident of D.C. that must pay a tax. That's the individual. So this U.S. individual is a Washington, D.C. individual who must file his income tax return, not the rest of us in the 50 states. Folks, the truth is there. Do not put rope around your neck. Do not hang yourself, folks. You don't want to do that. Okay? You need to be free. You got to stop on paying for your tax forms unless you're one of those people required to file income tax, and 98% of you are not citizens or residents of D.C. So free yourself now. Go to our website, freedommoscow.org, for more so you can regain your power and freedom once again. And for detailed, complete understanding of this issue, go watch the more longer video in the description below. It covers more things to understand this issue further. I can ask you, you can feel yourself. Congratulations. You got to start. Watch more. Educate yourself more. And you can regain the power and free of the income tax once again. And we can restore freedom together in America as Americans together. Look at the clock. Yeah. How much time was it? About 5 minutes? 8 minutes? Okay. All right, folks. We're going to now take your questions. So I'm sorry for those of you last week who tried to call and get your questions answered, and I was not able to do so due to some technical areas. And with Blog Talk Radio, we got good news for you, folks. We're going to be going to other better platforms that to produce our program, okay? Educate you, help you live free. So with that, I'm going to take all of your questions one at a time. Right now, there's four callers with questions, okay? I'm going to take you in order. The first one is from area code 954. I'm sorry, 315. And then call from area code 954. Then from area code 267, caller, followed by area code 909. All right? Each of you, give me only your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question. Call from area code 315. You are first.
Hello. My name is Rebecca, and I don't know. I think I must have signed up for emails a very long time ago, and honestly, I don't know where I found you.
Okay. Very good. Very good. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I have my own business, small medical office, and I also have two teenage daughters that were looking to go to college, I hope. But I'm just wondering about like loan, you know, when you like loans or things where they ask for your tax returns, how do you work around that? Have people dealt with that before?
Well, I'm going to give you an answer to you two ways, okay? First of all, you can get loans. They don't need to get parents' tax returns because very often people, not always, but sometimes, people don't have parents. Some kids don't. They're orphans. And there are other people who are not good terms or relationship with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
They don't require you to give your parents and tax return because you may not have one or they will not give it to you. So you can apply for loans anyways. It's not a problem. However,
okay.
I highly suggest getting a loan to go to the communist university system. Enemies of the American people, the banks and corporations who bought for media, bought for politicians, own our privately owned money system and a corrupt taxing system. And a pharmaceutical medical system, guess what? It didn't stop there. You also have corrupted our education, university, and public school system for decades. So today's universities, you send your daughters, they'll come out, communist, woke, and think LGBTQ Satanism is just wonderful. Okay? I suggest you reconsider your well-intentioned desire to send your children to these communist institutions and to borrow and saddle your children with a debt that they cannot pay because you cannot get good jobs with these degrees. Hey, you know what? I got a bachelor's degree in business administration way back in the 80s. I never could get a decent job with it. Never. It was a worthless piece of paper sits in my drawer someplace. Now it's worse. Our jobs have been exported out. So I don't recommend that. You know, I mean, you can do it as you want, of course. I'm not, you know, trying to tell you what to, like, push you, but it's just your decision. I'm trying to give you some sage advice on this. Number two, I highly recommend against young women going to these communist establishments. Okay? Because typically what happens, they get involved in extramarital relationships outside of marriage. Not always, but oftentimes they end up having serial relationships, never get married, never have children, you won't have possibly any grandchildren, you know, and they become unhappy. Whilst the young and younger, you know, and the women are attracted to beautiful young women because they're fertile to have babies, focus on finding a good husband, having children and family because long-term, that is your future for them. You know, again, these are laws of averages. Everybody doesn't have to do it that way. It doesn't work out that way for everybody. But these communist institutions are not worthy of your support. I'm highly supportive of you wanting to educate your children. Absolutely. Educate them. The best teacher is you. You, the parents. You haven't read good books. You haven't read good websites. Okay? And to know what's going on around them, you know? And then let them follow the interest online. Today, you can find anything you want to know online. Just go look it up for yourself. So rather than this structured at the university cookie cutter, a communist system that they got out there, you're barred from the federal government. Just let them do their own research. What would you like to be, you know, learn more about? Study that. Read, educate yourself. And I will not get the government loans. But If you want to get it, no problem. It's available without a need from a tax return for you. Did I answer your question for you?
Yes. So, that's the school loan, but if we need a car loan or something, which we don't necessarily want to do, but we might need to, and they want tax return.
Same thing. I would recommend against getting, you don't need a tax return for car loans. They don't. They just charge you a little higher interest rates. But look, you're not paying all this income tax, and you pay a little bit of interest more on your car loan. Well, you're saving so much. Okay.
Okay.
Number two, I recommend, what's that?
They don't actually need them.
They don't need tax returns. That's it. They don't need that for car loans. No. Or you're buying a home either. They don't need a bank, a tax return for car loans or home loans.
Okay.
And on our videos on our channel, if you go online on Odyssey and Rumble, I have presentations exactly on these topics. They can be free, you know. So you want to teach them about these things. Real education is about like our website. Do you know about income tax system? No. Do you know the money system that's fraudulent? No. I haven't watched the documentary America, Freedom to Fascism. In 2006, it was done about the money system and the income tax system. A good introduction. I haven't watched the Money Master documentary about the money system. I haven't taken classes about motherhood or cooking. You know, man, then we don't teach our daughters cook anymore. You know, I love my wife. I'm like, many reasons. She's a great cook. There's a talent that's been forgotten about, folks. Feeding your family good food, right? Being a mother. The man's got to provide, and a woman takes care of the children, right? You can teach them those things. It's being all, of course, on their individual interest. But I would like to suggest you consider these other avenues, approaches also, research them further, and have your beautiful daughters become wonderful mothers. Intended to be at wives and bring your beautiful grandchildren. Any other questions, Rebecca?
No, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Let's go to area code 954. Caller, you're live, my friend. Give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Hello, Paymon. This is Chris S. I heard about you on The Great Awakening, and I have a along with the pension question, you know, military, I understand, postal workers. Question is Social Security. Another thing is called the PBGC, which took over my company pension, but it's a federal corporation. It's a Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. It's a federally chartered corporation. So I was wondering, Social Security and that, would that be considered connected and taxable?
Yes. Okay. Because it's a pension from the federal. You're getting, what was your job that you're getting this pension for?
Well, they went through bankruptcy, and so
No, the company you work for. No, hold on. Let me ask you a question to clarify. I could be wrong. What company did you work for? Was it a D.C.-based corporation or in a 50-state company?
Delaware, incorporated in Delaware.
Right. It was a I'm sorry, I stand corrected. Since the source of your money was from Delaware, and as a Delaware source money, that's where your money pension was saved, it's not taxable. Your pension money is federal tax free.
Okay. And then the Social Security.
Social Security is federal money. But, you know, if that's all you get for federal money, by federal law, it's not taxable.
Okay.
If you make other federal money, then your Social Security is added to the other federal money you got, and combined, they could be part or all completely taxable. Do you have any other income from the federal government besides Social Security or no?
Okay. Very interesting. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Caller from area code 267, please give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
My first name is Kevin, and I heard about you from Stu Peters.
Very good. And how may I help you?
The authority for the Secretary of the Treasury, where's that at? Where can that be found at?
If you get closer to the microphone, I can barely hear you. What was your question again about the Secretary?
The Secretary of the Treasury, isn't he in charge of the Treasury Department?
Yes.
Where's his job description and where's his authority come from? Secretary of the Treasury, where's his authority come from?
U.S. Treasury is a department of the federal government that's created under the United States Constitution.
It's under the Executive Department. Yeah, I understand that, but where is his job description located in U.S. Code?
I haven't looked it up, so I can't answer that question because I never looked it up.
Okay, I had a question about tax court. The things you're saying on your show, is that that's all applicable in tax court, right?
I did not discuss tax court at all in this presentation. I'm not clear about your question. Could you rephrase that, please?
Oh, you don't talk about tax court?
I do, but not in this presentation. What is your question about the tax court?
Oh, I'm thinking about going to tax court because I had an election due process hearing, and they said I was liable for taxes.
So you had a collection due process hearing, okay?
Yeah.
And what happened to it? They ruled against you? They ruled against you?
Yeah. Yes, he did.
When was that?
On June 25th, I got the determination.
June 25th. You had 30 days to appeal that. Adverse decision of the IRS to the U.S. tax court. Did you do that?
No, I'm going to do that soon, though.
It's too late now, I'm afraid. By law, you have only 30 days to challenge that determination of IRS appeals office to the U.S. tax court.
Oh. No,
June 25th. 30 days after that, July 25th was your last day.
Oh.
I'm sorry, it's too late now. How much did they claim you owe them for what year?
They didn't tell me.
Well, in the original paperwork that it sent you, that you had to ask for hearing, they should list that stuff. They always do for what year and what amount.
Damn, I only have the paperwork with me.
Okay, all right. So I'm sorry, that tax amount, can I be challenged with that process anymore? That's done.
Okay.
Any other question I can help you with?
What else can I do?
Without knowing more paperwork about your case, I cannot tell you.
Okay.
I need to see paperwork of your case. I need to know what year or years, how much, how it came about, what you did, what you did not do, what the IRS did. IRS did not do. It's a chess game. Without knowing the history of the chess game, I can tell you, it's like saying, doctor, I got a neck ache. Make it go away on the phone. I need you to have you come for an examination. Let me check you out, touch you, take some x-rays, and do some tests, maybe evaluate, ask questions of you, and then I can tell you some suggestions. I'm not a magician to say, everybody, just do this. There's no such answer. I wish it was. It's not so simple. Okay. Anything else I can do for you, Kevin?
Wait a minute. I got the mail. I got the mail for the determination just 2 weeks ago. So maybe it wasn't June 25th. No, it wasn't June 25th. I don't know what the date was, but I got the mail 2 weeks ago. So I'm not past the 30 days yet. I'm getting that confused with another letter. I had two letters.
So within 30 days of the day of that letter, you must, by certified mail, keep the proof of that certified mailing, send that to the tax court, U.S. tax court, so you can continue challenging that. You must do that. Otherwise, you have no more challenges.
Okay. So I got to send it to two places, right?
One place. It tells you in the letter, Says you want to appeal it, they said the tax court was $60. File a fee to the tax court.
Okay. So everything you talked about on your show, I can bring that up, right? The territorial jurisdiction question, right?
No. Because you need to bring it up in your collection due process hearing, probably, so you cannot bring up something you did not bring up earlier. I mean, you could try to bring it up, but it's not going to work perhaps, because you should have brought it up down there, and you got to bring it up correctly and properly.
I did bring it up. I brought it up continuously. They just ignored me.
And you're going to see that, unfortunately, that happens a lot. They ignore you. So that's one of the reasons why what you want to do is join, because they're joining hands with other patriots like yourself. They cannot come after all of us. There's only 30 tax court judges for USA of 330 million people. And there's one tax court judge per 10 million Americans. They cannot come after all of us. So rather being loose on our own lone wolves, if we join hands, herd together like smart dogs, and I'll pitch it a little bit in the Restore Freedom Plan to back each other up. If you attack one of us, right, the rest of us can make up for that guy's loss. You're going to be protected. That's the idea, my friend, behind Restore Freedom Plan. One of them is that we are more powerful together. Individually, we're weak, right? But together, we're much stronger. And if they were to hurt you, you'd be fully reimbursed. You have zero risk. But you got to pay a price to be part of the group, get the protection of the group. You guys are supporting each other. It's not me. I'm just a coordinator. It's you guys' commitment to come together, work together, that makes it work. Okay?
Right.
Any other questions?
No, I don't have any other questions.
All right, my friend. Thank you for calling. I appreciate that, Kevin. Let's go to 909 area code caller and then followed up by a caller we have from area code 703. 909 area code caller, you're live. Give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Right. Heyman, my name is Lisa. Unfortunately, I did a search after I got in trouble with the IRS for something, and I found you online. And, boy, I have been spreading the word about you at least for several years, and then recently I became disabled in 2019, and that included neurological issues, cognitive problems, which included loss of memory, unfortunately. And I got a letter last week from the IRS stating that I failed to meet my offer in compromise because I thought that I had paid this off, but apparently I was supposed to continue to file and pay taxes for 5 years afterwards. And this apparently happened in 2018. So I'm wondering now, they do not say what they're going to do or anything. I've called their office several times and I've left messages. I can't reach anyone, but now I'm a little bit confused. I don't have the documents, the original documents, and unfortunately, I don't remember what all of this is. So, have I hung myself?
Well, the offer and compromise was a mistake. Unfortunately, someone misled you into doing that. That is true. But, IRS is such a broken agency, as you testified yourself. They'd probably leave you alone anyways. I mean, why do you think they don't even call you back? They're overwhelmed. IRS is not even really going after people. And attacking and levying their paychecks anymore. They're not doing that. Let me show you my computer how bad the IRS really is. If you go to step three on our website, realize that the IRS is mostly bluff. I have a chart here. You see it comes up. That shows, here we go here, where it is. IRS collections. This is, so IRS shows in the year 2009 and 2010. IRS did levies of about 3.7 million people in 2011. Okay? And the number of levies came down every year, down. By 2021, he was down to what? Only 300,000. That's over 90% drop. Over 90% drop in levies. That's not even enough people to come after you. You don't have enough people to answer your phone calls, even. So there's a good chance they'll leave you alone. I mean, without having more specifics, which you don't have, I can't give you any more specific answers, but you probably would be just fine. How much did you owe them? What years was this for? Any idea?
So the total liability, they say, is just slightly over $5,000, $5,072.79. However, it shows I did not file returns for in 2020 and 2021. So, and this is, I was totally disabled then. I mean, I could not care for myself. So I don't know if they would want to include, you know, those taxes and fees and penalties and all that for being late. I am on disability, and that is from a private insurance company. But my disability retirement is separate, and that is from CalPERS, which is for Public Employee Retirement System.
Mm-hmm.
Can they come after that? Can they take that away?
You know, you gotta stop asking yourself, can that happen versus how likely is it to happen? Can me or you die in a car accident tomorrow or next week? Yes. But how likely is it for you or me to die in a car accident? It's very unlikely. So same here. And money, you're so small, I was going to leave you alone very, very, very likely. You drive your car every day knowing over 50,000 people die in car accidents every year. And hundreds of thousands are seriously injured. Same with the IRS.
Right.
Your thing is so small, they're going to leave you alone. Okay? There's so many. Look, they're leaving people alone, folks. You got to get over your feelings. I cannot control your feelings. You got to look at the facts closely. Okay? IRS collections are down by over 90%. They don't have enough people to answer your phone calls. They give your cases to add to the toothless private collection agencies, which cannot take your bank account or paycheck or your pension. They only write you and say, please pay. IRS says you owe the money. We need to collect, but you please pay. And you can tell them, bug off or ignore them. That's going to happen for your life. Not guaranteed, but for your life. Okay.
Thank you so much. And I so appreciate all that you do.
You're welcome. What you could do is to join our Restore Freedom Plan and tell others. And let us reward you for telling others about us. You see, we provide opportunity for people like you. Perfect. Because you can be out of your home. Go online and post about Freedom Law School. All different places. Put your name on there. And when you're on comments on different websites, you can go to comments on websites and say, mention you for discount. You can give your part of your reward as a discount. Instead of 50%, if they mention you, get 40%. They have to mention you. Get a discount that only you can give them. Okay? And we got these brochures. We got the brochures here. Your brochure, I can show them. Yeah, you got to have all of them on here too. These brochures we mail you at no charge. Okay, to pass out to the person, but online is perfect for you. There's no reason why you have to live in poverty. You are a good person, okay, and you already stand for the truth, Lisa. So go have fun. Tell other people, okay? Call us, join for a minimal down payment. You can pay the rest of it with the reward that you get from telling other people about us. You're welcome, Lisa.
Sounds wonderful. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, we have a call from America 1703, an anonymous caller whose number shows up at 111. You know who you are, so I'll take you after that. Call from area code 703. Give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Okay, this is Angelina. Can you hear me?
Yes, Angelina, yes.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, I heard about you from Diamond and Silk Chit Chat a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And I am I've retired from the Postal Service and do get an annuity from them as well. But I also mm-hmm. get annuities for jobs because I worked other places other than the Postal Service. I did send you an attachment. I think I seriously made a mistake in going with a Tax Network USA. I went with them because I was disputing the fact that I had already paid the max of everything, you know, like my salary, you know, single zero and anything that I took from the thrift savings plans to buy, purchase a home was 20% taxed. Filing the 2021 and 2022, they all indicated that I need to pay additional money. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to pay you additional money because I feel like I've already paid, you know, so you already got tax money. So I went with this organization, and they want to have an assessment of my financial in order to work with Internal Revenue to resolve. Now, I am reluctant to give them this here information and want to, I guess, fire them to represent me mm-hmm. with Internal Revenue and just ignore Internal Revenue. They're not going to get the money. And they can come mm-hmm. after me and explain or whatever. So I just need some mm-hmm. direction as to what to do. And also, I want to be able to work with y'all to help other people because there's other people that's in the same situation that I'm in. And, okay. you know, I look at your stuff, you know, I understand about, you know, the territories and, you know, the non-residents, you know, mm-hmm. you know that you pay tax. And even mm-hmm. though I did work for Postal Service, I was not paid out of D.C. I was paid out of Minnesota or California. And I'm here in Arizona. So I just want some direction, you know, some advice as to what to do. I did send you the documentation of this financial questionnaire, and I think this whole thing is also illegal, and I kind of want to be able to figure out what kind of information we can disseminate to people that, you know, they don't get caught up into this here thing of organizations that claim that they can work with Internal Revenue to stop them from garnishing your pay, coming after you, and all this other foolishness.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you have a complex situation. It's not an easy situation. I can't really give you a good answer. I'm going to try to get a better idea for you if you give me more information, but you probably need a one-on-one private consultation with me so I can evaluate your situation more carefully.
And I'm willing to do that.
Yeah, that's the best way to go because let me tell you why. You have some income that's taxable from post office, even though you are in Arizona or Minnesota. But still, post office is a federal corporation, and your money comes from D.C. So you are a non-resident alien getting money come from a D.C. corporation, domestic to D.C., the U.S. Postal Service. So that income is taxable. However, as you said, you have other annuity also, and that is not taxable.
Right.
So then the other question is, well, how much is it? Is it $10,000? Is this $500,000? You know, the amount of it makes a difference as far as, well, what you could or should do. In rare occasions, You know, you may need to do bankruptcy, but probably not. In some occasions, maybe you could or should put out this financial form to make a small payment arrangement with the IRS, because if your income is low enough, they may leave you alone. Okay? So it's not a black and white thing, I can tell you. The most part of your problem is that your money at the post office is vulnerable, easily attacked by the IRS. Okay? So it's not easy to defend or protect, unfortunately. So you combine all these variables, you know. I need to get with you on the phone with as much information as possible. So together you and I can evaluate it, your situation, and then it becomes clear, okay, you have alternative A, B, and C. Which one is the better option becomes clear as we handle it, you evaluate all these different criteria.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. So the next step is that I should go into private consultation with you to determine, because you're recommending that I do fill out this here financial questionnaire.
No, do not. Do not fill out anything yet. You may, but do not do it yet. Let's do a one-on-one private consultation, you and I, get evaluated, and then we can take it forward from there to fill out this form or not. That's, I mean, sometimes you may, but not right now. How much do you pay these guys already, and how much more do they want from you?
I already paid them. You know, they
how much?
I think they asked for I think I have it on there, $3,200 to work with IRS.
What have they done for you so far?
All they did was just file my 2022 taxes. That's it. Nothing.
I've not done much.
They claim that they need all of this here information in order to come up with a strong case for Internal Revenue.
Now, all they want to do is for you to make a payment plan. That's all they're looking at doing. It's easy to do. It's not hard to do. That may or may not be your best option. Okay, how much you make a year from postal office, annuity, how much you get from other sources approximately?
Right, from OPM and I guess my other. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so you gotta evaluate all that stuff.
Retiree, you know, of course, you know, I wouldn't be able to pay. I think the total is something like, you know, maybe $26,000. That they claim that they want to have additional tax money, and I'm tired.
Well, let's go over that together in the consultation and diet all this stuff. Because the more I ask of you, the more I'm going to ask you more questions and more questions. You know. And, you know, I still want to give you a better answer. Let's do that in a one-on-one, and we can really figure it out and do it quickly so you don't have to pay these guys anymore. Hopefully you get some of your money back from these guys, because I can tell you what to do without their needing them. You can do it yourself, quite frankly, a lot of these things. You know, once you join us, I help people with stuff like this. I say do this, do this, do that, do it yourself. I don't want to charge you. Not necessary.
Okay. All right. So I should get with you. Do I need to reach out to y'all? I've been communicating with Eric. So do I need to
call Eric back? He tell you about how we do a consultation, right? No problem. Call any of us in our office. They'll tell you how we can send for a consultation with me privately.
Okay, fine. Okay, we'll do. All right. Well, thank you very much. It's very informative. And
you're welcome. My pleasure. Glad to be of help. Thank you, Angelina. We have a caller, anonymous caller from don't know where. Your number shows as 111. So speak up, my friend. Welcome. What's your first name and how you heard about us?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. What's your name, first name?
Yeah, I think I'm on. Let's see. This is Troy. Did you get
Troy? Okay. And how did you hear about us, Troy?
I'm sorry, again?
How did you hear about Freedom Law School, Troy?
I heard about it from one of your representatives some time ago. He was
at some event? Where was that? Where you live at? What state?
It was at a swap meet. He was handing out some flyers. I guess he was trying to do the business end as far as, you know, the tax thing, the program, sell your programs.
Where? What city of state? What city of state?
It was in Hawaii.
In Hawaii, okay. You know who was passed out the flyer to you?
Yeah, he passed out a flyer some time ago. It turned out I went to grade school with that guy. I hadn't seen him in that many years. So, anyway, he's not doing it anymore, but he introduced me to the... Gave me a packet, had like a CDs and stuff like that, yeah, some time ago. Anyway.
Okay. And how to help you, Floyd?
Yeah, some time ago, when I was listening to one of your programs, you mentioned, I'm dealing with a foreclosure situation, and you mentioned doing bankruptcy. Well, fighting the crooked courts here, I had to actually, a few weeks back, file a bankruptcy to stop a foreclosure sale. Once you're in the bankruptcy, of course, they want tax returns. It's not the best place for non-filers to be. So my question is, they either want you to submit tax returns within 2 weeks or explain why you have it, why you don't. And so I wanted to run that by you.
Mm-hmm. So you're in bankruptcy right now? Have you done a petition to Congress?
Have I what?
Have you... Send to your congressman our petitions that we write, that we have on our website for free?
Not yet, though I definitely want to do that right away.
Do it. And include it in your bankruptcy papers why you're not a person required to file a income tax, don't have a tax return.
They probably won't respond that quickly, or if at all. I don't even know if they will respond. Have they been responding in the past?
Generally, no, but... Tell them the legal reason is right there. You say, I've sent it out to them. I'm right anyways. You're right. Because it's on government's own official website. Write to congressman, just make a record of everything. It helps us in our political cause to bring about change by informing these people that are supposed to represent us to clean up the government crooks. Otherwise, the fact that you read it is good enough.
Aren't they on the same team, basically, though?
No.
No?
No.
I thought Congress was for basically for D.C., technically.
No. Congress makes laws that apply to 50 states, like about, money, for example, bankruptcy, okay, coin and money, stuff like that, postal, certain areas that apply to 50 states. Most everything not. By a few things they do.
So as far as dealing with this bankruptcy court, I gather they're mostly for their subjects as far as taxpayers. They want you to be
no.
a taxpayer.
No, they just brainwashed, believe everybody got to file income tax. That's all. There's nothing government conspiracy. They just don't know. The people there, they don't know about this stuff. They assume everybody got to file income tax. That's all.
I mean, they require that if you don't have tax returns, they mentioned in their rules that we could dismiss your case.
Well, I'll just give you an answer. Do you have any other questions?
So your answer was to tell them that I'm not sure I'm required to file, and I've notified Congress. I'm awaiting to hear from them. That would be the
You know, I'm not sure. So I'm not required to file income tax. Here's a law. From government's official legal websites. By the way, I just recently sent it out to Congress members just to double check with them anyhow. If you can show I'm wrong, show me. Here it is. Here's my legal position. Refute this. And they cannot.
I actually have a letter from you. I should send this to you if you don't have it already.
Hold on, Troy. Look, listen to that. Listen, I'm not a bankruptcy expert. I've given you, I know enough about bankruptcy and taxes, though, that I've given the answer to your question, my friend. Do you have any other question besides this?
Yeah, I do. I got a question for you regarding the Social Security number. What is the significance of the Social Security number specifically? It's a little unclear. When you start out working, they say in order for you to have a Social Security, if you retire, you you must sign up so for your pension. Then when you sign up, they say, oh, that's your taxpayer identification number. So is it a Social Security number or is it a taxpayer identification number? And now presently, if you want to travel before May, whatever the date is, 7th, I think, 2025, they're saying they want you to get the real ID, driver's license, which the only difference between the real ID driver's license and the regular driver's license is you give them a Social Security number. So is it a federal employee number? As such, to go through the airports and TSA, they're saying you won't be allowed to travel without, you know, getting this real ID. So I wanted to run it by you and see what you had to say about that.
Yes, you have a huge and broad question about, tell me about life. Okay, so I'm going to answer a few short things about all this. Look, Satan surveillance number. Slave surveillance number.
No.
It's been imposed on American people through deception since 1930s and growing as a means of watching you and controlling you. That's all it is, okay? It's grown over the decades. Number two, real ID means the state ID has certain characteristics, the driver's license. It has nothing to do with your SS number, given or not, okay? So it doesn't matter. You have no control whether your state has real ID or not. The name means nothing, okay? So don't worry about that. It is what it is. Do not get your children a number. You got to take it off. It's a tattoo that will not come off, okay? All you can do right now. At some point, I found a challenge the whole SS number issue. Until you do that, it is what it is, and I do not have sufficiently good answers to provide you at this time. I don't want to lie to you and give you false hopes at this time. Okay?
Have you rescinded your Social Security number, or are you at all, or?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I did, but they don't recognize that. They don't recognize it. Once you got it, they don't take it off of you. So it doesn't matter. The main thing is that they make it that where you got to get a credit card, you have to have a bank account to cash checks, right? They make to get a credit card, have a credit report with the SS number. Without credit card, you can buy online. You can sell online on eBay or Amazon. See, and all hinges upon that number. So you got to get a number of some sort to use because third parties are requiring you of that. That's how the satanic system works. So there's no easy answers to all these problems that the society as a whole from the top class is imposing on us as slaves. I'm working on it, but I do not have a good answer right now at this point. Sorry.
That's fair enough. It's a big question. I mean, they use that number.
Good point. But that's why we need you and other people like you to join Restore Freedom Plan to have the funding to do these lawsuits. It takes money, research time to research the stuff, and bigger winning losses to get these things challenged. Why should you have a number to open a bank account? Why can't the government issue $1,000 bills, $10,000 bills, so we don't have to use banks to conduct large cash transactions? Okay?
Okay, leave that one up in the air for now. And lastly, I got a quick question regarding state tax. Regarding if you have a license from a city and county, because if you don't have a license, they threaten you with fines. Does that obligate you as a partnership with the regarding state tax in any way, or being the cities or sub franchises, or is there a tax obligation there or
no?
Not.
No.
Any other
questions? It just doesn't. It doesn't.
Doesn't.
It doesn't matter. License is permission to do something which is otherwise illegal. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with taxes.
The why it should be considered illegal. It's only illegal because they make it, if you don't get a license, illegal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cut hair, you got to get a license, get their permission. Otherwise,
you won't get a license for what? What do you want to get a license for?
Well, I have a license, but I mean for...
For what?
Doing, but it doesn't matter. They have tons of licenses.
What? Construction, what kind of license? Driver license? Construction license? What kind of license are you talking about?
Yeah, like a driver's license. But...
It has nothing to do because you are not a citizen or resident of Washington, D.C., right?
Right.
Are you? You know what income tax? Doesn't matter if you get a license or what kind of toilet paper you use. Or what kind of shampoo you use. There's no relation, period. Okay, anything else?
Just getting back with the bankruptcy, dealing with the federal courts,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as it's a little awkward in that situation. What?
Okay.
You know, advice. I mean, they have their own little nooses. They want you to sign. They sent me something yesterday. They called me yesterday. They wanted me to send the signature because I put like an electronic signature. They want a physical signature on a motion for more time.
Hold on. Look. I'm not a bankruptcy law expert, and this is not a bankruptcy law forum, tax bankruptcy questions. Do you have any questions about the IRS?
IRS forms are federal forms, too. The same news kind
of... I want to answer your question about the IRS form. I told you about that. I answered a question. You don't need to do it. Give it up our petition.
Yeah, I like that idea. The petition is great.
Tell them why you're not required to file an income tax. Why haven't filed? It's right there.
It's right where.
Any other questions?
I'm sorry.
Look, go to our website, okay? On the right, keep yourself out of prison petitions, okay? Right there on the top, on our petitions page. Joseph, step five, okay? Step five on our website, okay? Okay? So here, the instructions are there. And here is the petition for individual income tax. Single person. Okay, open that link in a new tab. First petition on individual income tax. All right, all the directions, everything on our website is there. Okay.
All right. Okay. All right then.
Very good. Troy, what state are you from?
Yeah, I'm in Hawaii.
Hawaii, that's right. The communist state of Hawaii. So sad. That beautiful place was destroyed by communism. Hope you can get out one of these days out of that jail. Go to a little prison. All right, my friend. Thanks for calling. Looks like we have no more calls for tonight. Let me remind you, folks, I'll be at the Red Pill Expo coming up. Okay? In, let's see. Oh, here we go. Des Moines, Iowa, August 12th and 13th. Okay, so if you're not be there in person, watch online, okay? A lot of great speakers are going to be there. Here's Ed Griffin. He's the man that puts it all together, okay? Ed Griffin, a lot of great speakers, folks. You'll hear them live in person. If you cannot be there, you can online. You can watch it. Very, very affordable. Okay, I'll be there also, as you can see, okay? All right. And on the 14th, August 14th, Monday, there'll be a additional free event. See, free classes, okay? So, and in the morning will be Mr. Ed Griffin himself, and I'll be doing the afternoon session after 1:30. You can watch this part the Monday for free, okay? There'll be a link on our website on how to get there. On freedomlawschool.org, okay? And the other one you want to come, if you're in the Las Vegas area, it's got the Awaken America Tour. Awaken America Tour of Clay Clark in Las Vegas. So you want to go there, And here it comes up with the wake up. The website is, where is that? Weekend America Tour, Clay Clark, Las Vegas. It's got the Weekend America Tour. Oh, here it is. Good look. Here we go. ThriveTimeShow.com is a website. ThriveTimeShow.com. Okay? So, go there to ThriveTimeShow.com and you see me in Las Vegas also, my friends. With that, folks, remember, I hope all of you get to live free. We have a caller. Let me see. Eric, 703. We call answered questions, right? We did 703. Yeah, we did. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Very good. Guys, I'll only be a guide. It's all there at freedomlawsco.org. On your drive to or from work or shopping, listen. When you get home, put your smartphone out while you eat, read, and you hold the key to free yourself, my friends. Plug in and free yourself at freedomlawsco.org. I love you all. Wish you all freedom, peace, confidence, and prosperity. I hope to meet you all in person someday very soon. Like Retro Expo coming up next weekend in Des Moines, Iowa, August 12th and 13th. Good night. Very good. Yeah, didn't my...